This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 602 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down south. Let's go down Baffin Way and let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Good morning, Rihanna.
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's all good. Hey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. It's another beautiful Sunday here in Baffin Bay. Wind's blowing still this morning.
It's cranking up here, man.
You know, I hope it lays down. The forecast is calling for it to lay down as we approach, you know, morning, mid-morning, close to afternoon. Then that wind's supposed to start shifting back around out of the north later this afternoon. Just to have a break from the wind would be nice every once in a while.
Well, it has gone down since I started the show at 4. It's gusting east-southeast, 23 to 29 now.
Yeah, it has
34.
A lot of east in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a lot of east in it this morning.
Yeah, swinging around because that line of rain is coming our way, you know, pushing towards us. So it's moving, you know, shifting that wind around.
Yeah, I hope that reaches us down here. We need it again. You know, I know we've we've already had some rain, you know, not too long ago, but yeah. Everything's dried up pretty quick, you know, because of
the
wind.
Yeah, y'all were so parched. I mean, y'all were just bone dry.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, the sandy loam that we have here, that water that pours down that fast, it doesn't get to soak in. If you have a slow soaking rain for days, or it soaks in nicely, but when it's that quick, when it rains that much that quick, it just runs off. It tends to run off into all these little creeks and into the, you know, estuaries here, and so it doesn't really settle in a whole lot. But we could already use another good little shower.
Well, maybe you'll get something off the tail end of it. It looks like San Antonio's getting hammered right now, and it's drifting kind of your way, but the tail was real distinct into Mexico, and now it's kind of breaking up.
You can just feel in the air that barometer dropping. It's right. I love that feeling. I have, you know, whenever that feeling arises, I always get a good vibe going into the morning fishing. You know, I always anticipate a low barometer, especially with a wind change, in which we will hopefully endure that this morning. Last time a cold front blew through here, it was projected to hit later in the afternoon, and it was going to gradually start shifting around, and it hit us like a freight train early in the morning. It blew us off the water. It was supposed to gradually start shifting back around later in the afternoon, and right at about 8:45, I had just moved to the south shoreline too, and I was in my show water. I was in my old boat. Right. And we got over there. I mean, it was just crystal calm, clear water, and you could see that shelf cloud coming from the northwest, it was dark, and all of a sudden you see them ripples coming quickly through that water, and as soon as it hit us, it was a 10-degree drop, and it got cold. We were wet wading too, and we were like, so we jumped over. And
what are your water temps running down there?
Right now it's borderline comfortable for wet wading. It's about 79, 78 in the mornings. And then later in the afternoon, if it's really hot, sunny, it warms up nicely. But if it's blowing and overcast, it tends to stay a little cool throughout the morning and mid, you know, afternoon. But yesterday I wet waded the two guys that I had with me. Two clients that I had with me, they had on waders, which, and I told them, I said, bring them just in case, because it's borderline comfortable. About 80 to 82 degrees is about comfortable for me, but you bring in that wind with a little bit of east in it, you know, early in the mornings, overcast. I had on a jacket all day yesterday, didn't take it off. So today, if that wind starts to shift around, I thought, man, if that cold front comes in earlier than anticipated, I better have my waders on. So I'm in waders today, but it's been a weird transition. It's always a weird transitioning, you know, this time of year in springtime. You get these little minor cold fronts. It throws off patterns for a little bit, and then you kind of revert back, and then you're dealing with the wind, of course, and that's inevitable. The wind this time of year, it's going to blow whether we like it or not. And so dealing with it is tough. It's very tough in Baffin, you know, cause we have such close nearby deep water access. So, you know, in areas where there's, you know, it's a windward shoreline and you've got a parallel drop off, that wind starts whipping out of the east, southeast. It gets brutal there. It blows out that whole shoreline.
That opening across Baffin, I've had some pretty nasty boat rides right there.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Mickey, I love my new boat.
I bet you do. I was just fixing to ask you about that. How are you liking your new boat?
Oh, my God. This thing is a bad mamba jamba. I'll put it that way. It cuts through. There is no comparison compared to a cat in this boat in Baffin. It's just, it is unreal. The way it handles the chop, you know, going across, Baffin, going across Alazon, going, if you need to jump to the South Shoreline, if you need to jump over to Tide Gauge, it is easy on you, on your clients, on your tackle, right, on everything. I mean, it's just, I wish I would have got this boat sooner, to be honest with you. It is just absolutely wonderful. Not only that, it gets up shallow. That tunnel, that's on, because it's a 25T, and it's a fairly new hole. I think Chris said it's about a year in. So a lot of folks have been asking about it, mm-hmm, which is similar. It's similar to the Magnum, but it doesn't have that pad.
I was just going to ask you about that. It's like the kind of like the Magnum, but it has the tunnel.
Correct. It's so it, you can get up shallow, you can run shallower, and then the prop that I have on it is just, it's a four blade prop. I don't know if it's a Bravo or what brand it is, but it's huge, way bigger than the prop that I was running before.
Right.
Of course, this is a Verado. The engine that I have on is a 250 Mercury Verado. And, sometimes when I turn it on, I'm like, man, did it even start? I didn't even hear it. It's very different. I'm used to the Pro XS when it just, and it, it makes you known everywhere. And this one here, it's very quiet, very fuel efficient. I mean, I'm only running, 12, 15 gallons a day. Before it was 20, 25, mm-hmm, which is fantastic.
Big difference.
Of course, huge difference. And, of course, if you're running 30 to 40 RPM, which is typically where I like to run, I don't go very fast. I'm always conscious about safety, and especially when it's windy like this time of year, anything can happen out there. And so I'm running, 25, 30 miles an hour at the most. Mm-hmm. And of course, with this V-hole, it just eats that chop up for breakfast. It is just unreal, Mickey.
Gotta have it.
It's a game changer for sure, which makes fishing on Baffin just that much more enjoyable, that much more easier, that much more accessible. So, Chris has done a fantastic job on this boat. Very, very fortunate to be in it. But as far as the fishing goes, it's been tough for us here in Baffin. I'll admit it. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week for me. It's been a tough week for my guys.
Backside of the moon.
I'm telling you, it seems like it's just a reoccurring pattern. Every moon cycle, you can kind of know what to expect. Always be prepared for the unexpected, but you can typically know what's going to happen, especially here in Baffin. It can be challenging, but it can also be very rewarding whenever one does connect.
All it takes is that one big bite to change the whole day.
And I'll tell you what, Mickey,
and you're where
everything
they're at.
Is here. And everything is here that they need. The amount of bait fish, and our tide has come down big time. Our water level is down. It's very low. There's structure that's being shown right now that wasn't being shown 2 weeks ago. There's areas that I can't fish that you could fish 2 weeks ago. So patterns are changing. Strategies are changing. And not only that, but all that bait that was out deeper has come up shallower. And I mean, yesterday, I'm surprised that none of us got bit, because the amount of ideal profile mullet that I saw skirting through the water like something was chasing them was just, it was exhilarating just watching it. I was like, holy moly, there's something here. And we threw everything out. I threw a Fat Boy Boogeyman floater for a long time. I mean, I just wanted that big old thump. I was just looking for that one bite.
Yeah.
Never happened. Water was beautiful. I mean, even with the wind blowing like it was, water was chalked up, of course, a little bit chalky, but it had that little green tint, and you could see that mullet just skirting across the water, and I saw a couple shrimp too. I thought, oh man, any cast we could connect to a good one. And yeah. Of course it didn't happen. We caught some smaller trout, but nothing real big.
Always days like that.
I'm thinking, of course, these clients of mine, they fish with me a lot, and they know how it goes. And I told them, I said, look, when we all talked about it, they're here. They're definitely here. Everything's here that they need.
No doubt.
But they're just, they just didn't want it. I can't imagine how many times we ran our lure right in front of a trout's nose and she just didn't want it, or just looked away or swam away or skirted away. She just wasn't ready. I always think about that. How many times, how many big fish that I've passed by that was an opportunity, but she just wasn't ready. And that's just how it goes. I mean, it's fishing, and it's always a learning experience every time we're out there. So today we're going to change up the patterns, probably run out a little bit further. I'd like to go out to Badlands. Kind of where I'm aiming towards today. I want to kind of ease in that direction. Saturdays, of course, it was windy yesterday, but on a nice Saturday, that tends to be a very high traffic area. So that's why I kind of avoid it. On the weekends, I always call it Corpus Christi Guide Headquarters because it's always so busy. But if the wind lies down, we get a good opportunity in there. I'd love to skirt on over there and see what it's about. I haven't been to Ty Gage Bar in a long time either. It's been a minute, but when the traffic, the only downfall about that area within the Ty Gage Bar is the traffic that runs through there. There's some folks that, that are a little inconsiderate, and that's just normal. You're going to run across it anywhere you go on the coast, and it's, I don't ever like to wade within that bar because a lot of folks use it as a highway, going through there.
And a lot of boats are out through there. They really do. But all right, Brianna, I wish you the best today. Try something off the wall. You never know. It might happen for you. All right. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them some info how they can reach you.
My number is 361-296-5400. Give me a call. It's Make a Wade and Baffin.
All right. Sounds like a winner to me.
Yes,
you have
sir.
A good Easter. Catch them up. Get them.
Happy Easter, Mickey. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, girl. Later. All right. Well, I need to tell everybody the 36th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament that's coming up. That'll start Memorial Day weekend. It's right around the corner, and it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Sign up today and take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. And with 120 tagged redfish released in inshore waters along the coast, it'll give you a chance for a truck and boat package. And you can fish for other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. You can offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament is brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star Beer, Hall Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers. Go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222. Sign up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:22 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Matagorda Way. I'm sure it's nice and calm down there this morning on an Easter Sunday. Let's go check in with our good friend Bink Grabs.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. one connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Captain Bink, what's up, buddy?
Calm, placid seas.
Oh, man.
Gore, Texas.
Can't wait. I was talking to Casey and Jeff earlier, and the seas in the Gulf are only like 10 feet this morning.
Yeah, it's rocking and rolling out there.
Oh, it's nasty.
Good place to be in church this morning for Easter Sunday.
Yep, sunrise service, baby.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yeah,
tell me some lies.
Well, it hasn't been. I didn't fish a whole lot this week. I was.
Can't blame you.
Hunted more than anything. Yeah, it was a good week to. It was one of those weeks, and the business was a little light this week. It always kind of is right before Easter Sunday because everybody's taking, they're off on Friday, so they don't take a whole lot of vacation. So, man, I took advantage of it and made a few turkey hunts, and then so that's kind of what we've been doing. I tell you, it's my guys that fished, it was sort of a struggle this week. There was times that caught them, but it was a lot of some stuff in the river, just to try to hide from the wind. It's just been a little tougher because our tides, just so low. They came up a little bit with this wind, but just so, low, you just not like any April that I can remember any really year. We were thinking the other day, we've really only had water for about 3 days in 2025. And that was about 15 days ago when we had a decent tide that pulled up just for a little bit, and then we lost that water again. And I got to thinking, man, I just cannot remember tides being this low for this long, I just can't. So we've learned a lot more that we've seen some shell that we didn't know we knew was there, but we just hadn't seen it in a while.
Yeah, and, right.
that you don't normally see in April. I mean, normally, it's just when in April, when the wind blows like it will, in April, there's just a lot of spots you can go to the back lakes and make days of things, but I'll tell you, there just hadn't been any water to make a whole lot of hay in the back lakes,
Yeah.
Just the way it is. And it's just different. I don't know. It's, it just is. Maybe we'll get some water back, maybe this week with a little southeast, but I don't know.
I was pulled up this morning when I came in. Went to the house, I'm supposed to be on a low tide, and it was definitely high. So
it finally did. I noticed it yesterday afternoon.
But that wind had more east in it this morning too. Uh-huh. When I left out,
it did.
I came out the back door, and it just kind of, my back door kind of faces east southeast, and it blew me down, man.
Yeah, my flag here is doing the same thing. It's got a lot of yeast in it, more yeast than
starch in
it
this morning.
It does. It sure does. And but you know, all those fronts that are coming from the west and been having westerly flow to them and stuff, and you know, that's just westerly flow, that's what it does to the tide and stuff. So that's but you know, water temperatures are, I don't know, they're about 70, they're showing 74, 75 degrees.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing in Galveston, but pretty close, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same across the board, man. 75, yeah. 76.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just enough to, if you want to not wear waders, you know, if you want to wade wet, I prefer a little bit. But
I'm waiting on 80 and less wind.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it's 75, 76 and calm, it's a whole lot different to wade with than it is.
Yeah, it is. When you get in a boat and it's blowing 30, man, you'll get cold quick. Especially with no sun out and it's cloudy like it's been.
That's right. That's exactly right. We've got a pretty good week this week. We got a lot of traffic coming through the lodge this week after Easter, so we'll be out there and getting them on it, and I think winds are going to be workable, you know.
It's going to kind of come down into the 15 to 20 range. Mm-hmm. You know, with this rain coming today and tomorrow's like 15 to 20 and then kind of coming down during the week, so that's good.
I always like it when there's rain chances, because rain chances with southeast wind behind it, it's just you got a low barometer when you got that, man. It just seems like our fish just bite. They just get a different attitude. They're in different old mindset, it seems like, you know. And with that, you know, you'll have more water and to do things. And I always, in May and June, when we hadn't had a whole lot of those May and Junes here lately, with where you get those southeast winds and pop-up showers every single day. But, man, I remember maybe 7-8 years now that, you know, it rained every day in June, maybe just a little bit of rain, you know, and man, our fish bit so good. And we could, you know, this country down here and all the Texas really could use it. We look up and, man, we're in a drought, you know, and just
y'all missed a lot of these last couple of rain events, you know, that have come through.
Sure did.
They even got it below you, and then y'all were kind of in the middle where y'all didn't get hardly any at all.
No, we got about 2.5 is all, and it soaked it up good. And
oh yeah, you're so dry, I just drank it, man.
Yeah, that ranch that I hunt and down over through you, you got about 7-8 inches, and it was, but man, you can't even tell it now, you know. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And
you busted a good bird yet?
Yeah, yeah, I have. Sure have. I can shoot one more, two more, I think. Turkeys kind of flipped the switch. It was a little tough about 2 weeks ago. They were henned up. They were talking on the roost, and when they'd come down on the ground, they wouldn't say a whole lot. So it made it really, really tough to hunt. And all the hens were all together, and they just wouldn't come out of the woods, man. They were just in. And it was like, man, you wouldn't see nothing. You'd hear them on the roost early, and then, but you know that things are going to change. It's kind of like fishing, you know. You would kind of like when you're tarpon fishing. You don't see them. You know they're there, and they're going to show up, and eventually you're going to flip a switch, and that's what they did. They're now all in, running in ones and twos, and trying to find those last hens. You know, it makes them easier to hunt because they got vocal again. They're on the ground and they're telling you exactly where they are because they're gobbling and trying to find a hen. So that's the cool thing. I like it when they'll strut for you and gobble for you and all that stuff. You know, it makes it pretty damn cool. Pretty cool. And it makes it easier to hunt. If they'd shut up, you know, they can't shut up. it'd be so much tougher to hunt, but it's that's what they're doing right now. We got, I guess it's the last week of it, so. We'll make 100 or 200 more. And then,
I saw a deal on Facebook early this morning. before I went on air, a guy got attacked by a bobcat while he was turkey hunting. Jumped on him from behind.
I don't doubt it.
And almost scratched his eyes out. It clawed him up pretty bad.
I tell you, I had, I guess about 3 weeks ago, you know, I had to decide if I was going to shoot this hog or not that was coming at me. You know, old boar hog, he didn't really, he kind of didn't know what I was doing, but I was calling in there and, man, I didn't want to shoot him because I didn't want to screw my hunt up, you know? And, but it got to a point where, man, I thought he was coming for me. And, so I stood up and then he still really didn't know if he wanted to do something different. And then finally he did, but you know, it's just, when you're surrounded by wildlife and a couple of coyotes, same thing. They didn't know they were coming in there looking for, looking for a hen or looking for something in distress. And shoot, I had to do the same thing. Just, normally, you know, you don't have that problem with those kind of animals like that. But sometimes, they act a little different. They sure were a little bit more aggressive than what I thought they were going to be. And I just, you know, then you wonder what else is out there. You know, you wonder when you're sitting in all that, you're on the river bottom, you know, you wonder if that old cougar's out there too, you know.
Yep.
He don't care.
I've heard of some good stories of close calls with those rascals too. Let me knock this break out, Bink. I'll be right back at you, brother. Hang on a second. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show on this Easter Sunday morning. All right, we're going to finish up this last segment with Bink Grimes. All right, Bink, we're back, man.
Our Astros finally won back-to-back games and got back to .500, so hey.
Yeah, Jason and I were talking about them during the break, man. We were talking about the game. We won two in a row. First time this year we won two games.
That's two in a row. You win today, they call that a streak.
They call that a winning streak, yeah, like in Major Leagues.
Yeah.
I still love those shows, Major League 1 and 2.
Man.
They're hilarious.
We always talk about every time Bull Durham comes on, I watch it because
meat.
It just, I try to tell, you know, I played minor league baseball. So,
right.
So, you know, I mean, Bull Durham is almost, I mean,
spot on.
Some of the, it really is. And it really is. And just some of the little things that happened on the road and everything, you know, it's just, so my wife, I mean, why are you watching that again? I said, man, it just brings back good memories.
It does, man. I love it when old media keeps shaking Tom Berenger off. And he told that batter, he said, hey, man, when you hit this one out, think of me well. He said,
yes,
you know,
when you speak of me,
the old
speak
number
well.
One, that's right. The old number one's coming right down the pipe. And he smokes it out of there. And he walks out to the mound. He told me, he said, you know, anything that flies that far ought to have a stewardess on it.
Yeah, that's right. I had that happen to me one time in college. It was the bottom of the ninth, and we were coming up, and I think we were down. We were in the playoffs actually, and we were down by seven runs, and I let off, and the catcher looked at me, he goes fastball. I said, what? He goes, man, if y'all can hit seven in a row, y'all deserve to beat us. I said, okay. Boom. I hit one out. Now it's 14-8. The next guy comes up, he tells me fastball. Well, he hit that, but. They got us out, but that was real life stuff there.
Yep.
It was pretty funny. The stuff you remember, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty funny.
That's
where would life be without baseball? I don't know where it'd be for me baseball.
Well,
I still love
it,
man.
I just grew up in baseball, man. It was part of my life. It was a good ride.
Been very good to me. Yeah, I enjoy it, and still, it's, man, I don't know why I'd watch for 6 months out of the year if I didn't have baseball to watch, you know, because with the stuff that's on TV this time, I don't really dig it, you know.
Oh, my wife starts getting grumpy in February and March, man. She just, God, one of the Astros.
February
starting.
Is terrible TV. I mean, terrible TV February. Just terrible. NFL's over, you know, it's just terrible. You got to watch basketball and. Oh, Lord.
Man, that Cougar game that was a slap in the face. Golly, I thought they were
going to win
that game. I mean, that just, man.
I felt so bad for them because I won. They were such a joy to watch because they're just not many teams that play that hard and just, you know, Kelvin Sampson coached them and he holds them to, you know, discipline wise and holds them to a higher standard.
A lot higher standards. Yeah. He's a great.
He does. He gets the most out of his kids and man, they're just a joy to watch. And, golly, just didn't happen. You know, I don't think they were as good as Duke, but they beat Duke, but I thought they were better than Florida. So I really don't think they should have beat Duke, but they should have beat Florida, you know.
They had a 12-point lead at one time.
I know.
Just withered away because they just couldn't put anything in the hoop.
Yeah, all four teams in the Final Four this year were really matched up.
They were bad to the bone.
But
yeah, baseball movies, man. If I've seen them 20 times, I always watch them again. You just can't help it. You know one you don't ever see come up anymore, and that's 61. You know, the one that Billy Crystal produced and everything, you know, about Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. That was a good show. I liked it.
That was a good show. Sure was. We're going, you know, something I didn't say in the first segment of I know it's happened a lot around down in South Texas, but not a whole lot of people has been tossing around here. But man, I had some pretty good topwater days here lately. It's been good, you know, and you don't count on that a whole lot in April. It just varies from April to April, you know, they were pretty daggum aggressive on the top water.
You know, that 914 that one of Cliff's customers caught was on a pink skitter walk.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and the other day, you know, when I think he had the same group 2 days in a row, and I mean, they put a, you know, a big girl beat down on them. I mean, quality fish. And they were using skitter walks and top dogs, juniors.
Oh, okay.
Smoking them, man.
It seems like this April it's been a little bit better topwater bite than normal Aprils. It just seems like that way. I know everything's different. You kind of forget you've been doing it so long, but it just seems like here lately it's gotten better earlier, and so we're kind of looking forward to now through May and June, and I mean, you can catch them all year, you know, but it just seems like, they just seem to eat it a lot better on that incoming tide that we, you know, that we'll have in May and June in the morning time. And it just seems, you know, May and June and all that just seems to have more low pressure in it, more easterly flow. I love May and June.
Makes a good topwater bite, man. Sometimes.
It just does.
You know what my best month is on topwaters up my way? It's in the heat of the summer, like in August. You know, if I can keep Trinity Bay salty for the rest of the year and get those fish, you know, moved up into the upper reaches, and you get out there in the summertime in that 6 to 8 feet of water, throwing topwaters out of the boat, you want to talk about fun, man. I mean,
that
you can see so much
fun.
Better, and everybody's up high, and they can stay in contact with their lure eye-wise, and, man, that is so much fun.
That's right. The biggest fish I've caught, I guess, was in 2000, 2001, and at high noon in 7 foot of water in Calcasieu, you know?
Yeah.
Throwing the top
it's
water.
Like the later in the day it gets and the hotter it is, the better the top water bite is, and that – you know, deep open water like that.
Yep. And man, when they come up and eat that sucker, you want to talk about a splash.
Game on, baby.
My Lord. Yeah, that one, I caught that year at, that's 25 years ago, I guess now. It was about 31 and a half inches. My Lord, it weighed 9.6.
What a fish.
You know, just right on the tank battery out there. It used to, you know, the tank battery used to be above, you know, where it used to be, but then they took it out. But all that, shell and stuff is still down there.
It's still there. Well,
yeah, it's still there. But they.
I used to love
out,
all
you know?
That from there and back into Turner Bay and all that around the island. And oh man, I've caught some mules back there.
man,
especially waiting that east side over there too.
Yep.
Oh man,
yep.
Where those drains come out, golly.
That place was something else back in.
But you know, when we were going over there, we kind of got tired of Sabine, and we started going over there. And I think when both of them were on in their prime, I don't think you could beat Sabine. Sabine was better. I think we might have caught a little bit bigger fish over there as far as double digit, you know, like 10-pound trout. But as far as just a bunch of big trout, like 7 and 8s and a 9 here and there, Sabine was just when that place was on, it was. And that was the thing with Sabine. Calgary, you could always catch something. Even on a bad day, you could catch fish. But Sabine, hey, it was either feast or famine. I mean, you'd go over there one day and just wear them out, and the next day you'd go back and nothing.
I remember pre-fishing for your tournament there in 99, and all those fish were up on Stutes in Sydney, and we were up there, and we were on them, you know, before the tournament, and got on them, and then got off of them, and went there that Saturday morning at your tournament, and, man, they didn't bite. They did not bite, and a few of them did, you know, but just not balls to the wall like it normally, and we sat there because we knew we just waited on them and waited on them and waited on them. And shoot, about noon, I said, man, I'm just not going to wait on them anymore. And we had a little incoming tide, so I got in the boat, and I just, the old Hail Mary, I hadn't been down at the jetty or anything. I just went to the jetty and started throwing topwaters, and, man, holy moly, that was one of the most fun times I've ever had. And I remember coming in and put those fish down, and you go, God dang, I told you, man, the jetty, Mickey, the jetty.
Right.
And, you know, they were all just, yeah, you know, and they were all, they were just all, oh man, just great fish, and went back the next day and did it again. And that was just, you know, like I said, I didn't know those fish were there. I just said, man, I'm going to try this. My Lord. And that started about 5 years, man. Anytime you had an incoming tide and I was closed, man, I sure like going over there and I didn't have a trolling motor back then, you know, just drifting and throwing those along those rocks. And oh man, they'd come out and crush it. Golly, they'd crush it. And get a running start and hit it, you know, it's something else.
Right.
I wish we had a jetty system like that in Matagorda, you know, long enough that you could bank on it, you know. But we don't. I mean, we all those fish are get on our jetties and we like to fish them, but man, you can't put too many boats on it because they're just ours is just not that long, not that wide. But the fish do get on it. Don't get me wrong, they do get on it, but it's not, and just I don't know how long the Galveston and the Sabine jetties actually is, but it's probably 10 times larger than what ours is, you know.
Yeah, the Galveston jetties, man, that's a big, big deal, north and south.
Yeah.
Sabine is not quite as big, but hey, you can pretty much set your watch by it and put it on your calendar whenever school's out in that first week of June. And that green water moves in on those Sabine jetties. It is absolutely stupid on big trout. You talk about fun with topwaters early in the morning, the first hour, throwing black topwaters.
That's exactly right.
Oh my God!
Black topwaters. Yep. I never knew you could catch them on anything else. I saw Jerry Norris out there, you know, 20 years throwing bass's asses and killing them, you know. But I never threw anything but a topwater for about 5 years on that thing because I just would shoot. I want the big dog.
We used to, in the early summer like that, too, early June, we'd get up in the lake there where all the reef system is by the goalpost and all that. We'd drift all that, you know, all those up and downs out there. I mean, your boat will be in 12 foot of water, and you're throwing your top water out on a 6 foot hump, and it's just all pig ears on the bottom. And, man, we used to crush those big trout early in the morning out there in top waters, just cutting drifts. I hope it all comes back, and I think our limits. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like them and all that, but hey, it is helping. I'm seeing a difference.
No doubt,
I really am.
No doubt. Look at down south,
what it's done for them. Those guys were already doing the 20-inch thing way before, you know, the government way made before. Us go to that. They were pretty much had gentleman agreements with all the, you know, guys that I know down there. They were anything over 20, they were chunking it back. It's made a world of difference.
It, man, it's helping us. It is helping us. And I don't get any blowback from, I mean, the people that come on our boat. I don't even think about it anymore because nobody says anything about it. You know, if they're happy, and I have so many people that don't even want to keep them, or they might want to keep one or two for you know, hey, that's enough. And because I asked them, hey, we will keep a few fish today. Maybe one. Okay, well, when y'all get, I said, look, when that don't mean we're going in if we catch, you know, if we got
we're
two
going
guys
fishing
in the boat
for the day, man.
Yeah, man.
When we get, if you want to keep fish and we get a limit, we're not going to the house. We're going to keep fishing.
No, that's right. And I just hadn't, you know, I hear this from people that, oh man, it hurt y'all. That's what's hurting y'all right now. Y'all don't have that's not it. It's the economy,
stupid, like old Corville said back in the Clinton days. It's the economy, exactly what it is.
If you know what your business, if you know who your customers are, if you really watch your business and everything, you know what's going on. Because our real estate is soft right now. Our rentals are, it's everything, and it's gonna come back. The economy's gonna reset, and everything's gonna happen. It's gotta happen because we were headed for no man's land.
We were headed into the bad.
We just don't know how bad
we had never seen in our lifetimes.
That's exactly right. So good times are coming, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all just wait.
Yeah,
things are gonna reset. We're gonna be fine. But we just gotta hold on.
Make fishing great again, too.
That's right. But it is. I'm so optimistic about our fishery and just about the things to come because people's attitudes, everything's changed, man. And everybody wants to do the right thing. That's the cool thing to do, man. It is. It's going to be good for everybody because.
Of the fishermen, they're so informed these days and they're passionate about it and they're into it and they understand. They agree.
Yep.
And
you can't take and expect that fishery to keep giving. It just doesn't happen.
Look at the restrictions that have been imposed out in the Gulf because of, you know, just over harvest. And it makes a difference. You know, conservation works. It really does. Sometimes they go to the extreme on certain things and species, but for the most part, it works.
For the most part, it works. Sure does.
With cooperation of Mother Nature, too, you know?
Sure. People do not
realize how bad this upper coast got whacked in that 2021 freeze.
That's right.
It was more prevalent for y'all because your fish floated and you could see it. You couldn't see them up here. We never have.
That's right.
And we're coming back. It's just takes time.
No, we didn't know how bad it was either. I think it took a year or a year and a half to really show us what we didn't see with our eyes because, you know, we were before that. I mean, we were catching 5 to 7 pound trout, you know, 10, 15, 20 a week, you know, they were cheap. That's what we were doing. Oh, man, great fish. Oh, good fish. Pulling back. But, man, and that's just not the case. It wasn't the case. You know, they're coming back now, but it just wasn't the case. And that's, man, it really put a sting on us. It really did.
Growing a fishery is kind of like growing a tree. It takes a while for it to get big.
It does.
All right, Bink. Well, hey, it's always fun talking to you, man. If somebody wants to get down and they want to rent a place for the weekend or stay at the lodge or, hey, book a fishing trip, give them some info how they can do all that.
Yeah, it's warm enough to swim in the pool when you get off the water now. So
there you go.
Make a few putts and all that.
Yeah,
979-241-1705 or MatagordaSunriseLodge.com. Happy Easter, everybody out there.
All right. You too, Bink.
good times are on the way.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Good talking to you, Bink. Have a great Sunday.
Okay.
See you, bud. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back next week, Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.